Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Dave. I'm the young pastor here. Surprise! It's great to be here. It's so good to be here on Easter morning, Easter Sunday morning. It's great to be able to celebrate what Jesus did. On Friday, we talked about Jesus and asked, What if what Jesus promised was true? What if the claims that Jesus made were true? What if Jesus was God? What if he did die and rise from the dead? Today we live in the promise. We celebrate who he is. Jesus wasn't just what if, but he proved who he was. He showed who he is, and we live today knowing that Jesus is God. There's a Sunday school story. And the Sunday school teacher has got the class, and she's saying to the class, who knows the first words that Jesus said after he was resurrected? And this little girl says, what were the first words that Jesus said? He says, ta-da! Pretty sure that's not true. But Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen again, and we celebrate that. And the question is how has that changed everything in your life? Or perhaps the question is more, has that changed anything in your life? Or perhaps that question is, how and what should or could that make in my life? The death of Jesus is significant. The death of Jesus happened. How does that affect us? I've got a riddle for you. And the riddle is, man rode into town on Friday. He stayed for 3 nights, and then he left on Friday. How is that possible? Don't ruin the joke, Margaret. You can leave. Okay, I got another one because Margaret ruined it. Who knew that? No, it's a... Well, thank you for not telling us. Mr. Jones was in my lounge room and he asked for a tea and he got $5,000. He then asked for more eyes and got nothing. Why can't he get any? Mr. Jones was on Wheel of Fortune. Okay, I've got another one. This will be easier. Thank you, Margaret. I know you knew. Anthony and Cleopatra were lying dead on the floor of a villa in Egypt. The window was open. There was water and glass all over the floor. There's no marks on either Anthony or Cleopatra, and they were not poisoned. How did they die? Well, I know, a couple of people know this one. Anthony and Cleopatra were fish, and the dog Brutus knocked over the fish tank. You know, they're obviously not obvious. And there's riddles that come that are not obvious. And they're not true, they're just not obvious. I've got another. This is the final one. A man who's done no wrong, lived a great life, died, was killed, died, and on the third day was resurrected. How does that happen? Logically, it can't. It's impossible. And yet today we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. We celebrate that Jesus was a man who was also God. We celebrate that Jesus came and lived life amongst us, that he was sinless, he was perfect. He cared for others and he showed the compassion of God to those around him. He confronted evil, he confronted corruption, he confronted what was wrong in the world, and those who he confronted took him away and killed him. Everything about him reeked of the odor of God. Everything he did proved that he was more than just a man, proved that he was just more than all of us. And yet when he rose from the dead, he showed that the impossible is possible. The unbelievable is believable. He showed that God came and lived amongst us in the form of Jesus, was killed and rose again. The Bible teaches that we are sinful people, that we don't live up to the expectations of God. And as sinful people, we don't deserve to be near God or with God at all. And yet Jesus came to be on earth to sit with us, to teach us, to show us, to die for us, to rise again for us, to take that sin away and give us hope and give us life. I love this passage from 1 Corinthians, and I want to read it again simply because I can. I think it's amazing that Paul is there sending a letter to the Corinthians, and he goes over this and over this. Because I think in that day and in that time, people were still saying, Jesus was just a good person. Jesus didn't rise again. He was just a good teacher. And Paul says, no, there's more to it than that. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all to one untimely born. He appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul's saying that I don't deserve this. What Jesus did for me, I don't deserve, but he did it anyway. He did it because he loved me. He did it because he loves all of us. Lee Strobel said that if every witness to Jesus' resurrection were called to be witnesses, were called to the witness stand, it would take over 128 hours to hear their testimony at only 15 minutes per person. That's five days of non-stop testimony. If we get convicted in a court of law, how many testimonies does it take? One. 5 days of testimony from the people who were there at the time who saw that Jesus had risen again. It's easy for us to say it didn't happen, yet the evidence would say that it has. There's a story about an African Muslim who had just become a Christian, and someone asked him how he became a Christian and what that means, and he said, well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down a road when suddenly it forked in two directions. You didn't know which way to take. There at the fork in the road, you could see two people, one dead and one alive. Of which one of them would you inquire? Isaiah captures this transformation when he writes, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. God has shown us who Jesus truly is. He's revealed to us who Jesus truly is. And Paul wrote further on in Corinthians 15, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And then he goes on and says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Easter changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. Christ is risen. He is risen. Christ is risen. Excellent. So what does the resurrection mean to us? Well, the first thing is that it gives us renewed purpose and calling. An encounter with Jesus transforms us. Remember the story of Peter and Andrew. They were fishermen. They were young fellas. They were just fishermen. They didn't have any skills. They didn't have any qualifications. They were low in the roles and the culture of the place and the time. And Jesus came to them and said, follow me. Jesus called these two insignificant people to follow him and to become the leaders of the church. In Acts 9, we see the story of Saul, who was persecuting Jesus, persecuting Christians, hunting them down to kill them. And Jesus met with him, revealed himself to him. Jesus became Paul, and most of the New Testament is written by Paul as he went planting churches through the world. Lives were changed. People who saw Jesus were changed. But it's not just people back then, it's people in our times as well. It's us as well. There's a testimony from Sarah who said, another Sarah, encountering Jesus was like finding the missing piece of a puzzle in my life. It gave me a new sense of direction and a passion to serve others the same. And another testimony from David, not this David, another David. When I encountered Jesus, everything changed. I realized that my life had a greater purpose beyond my own ambitions. I found fulfillment and joy in serving others and being a reflection of God's love in the world. Our passion changes. Our purpose changes. Our calling changes. As with Peter and Andrew, we're also called from being fishers of fish to be fishers of men. We're called to transform the world, to change the world, to take the words of Jesus into the world, to love others and to care for them and to serve them. That's our calling. That's our purpose. As we come to know God, our purpose changes, our calling changes, and becomes one with what He wants of us. We have a renewed purpose and calling, and we also have a spiritual rebirth. Remember the story of Nicodemus. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Made no sense to Nicodemus as one of those riddles. How can one be born again? We are born again in Jesus. We are born again in his resurrection. We are born again into the life that he would build for us. The amazing thing is that we start over, we are fresh, we are new. When we're born again, we don't have everything from behind, but we have what's in front. And Jesus takes away what was before and gives us what is to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is come. Spiritual rebirth and also a provision in the times of need. Jesus doesn't just supply our spiritual needs, but he supplies our emotional needs. He supplies our physical needs. He gives us what we need to be able to serve him and to be able to serve those around us. We can't forget John 6:5-14, where Jesus is talking to this huge group of people, 5,000 people. And as he's talking, the disciples saying, oh, we've got to send them away. It's getting late. They could be hungry. McDonald's is closing. Got to get them going. That was a joke. McDonald's wasn't. They didn't have drive-through. They had no cars. Come on. The disciples said, we need to send them away. And Jesus said, why don't we feed? Why don't you feed them? And they found 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, start distributing. And everyone was fed. And there were 12 baskets of food left. Jesus shows that he cares for us physically. He cares for us spiritually. He cares for us emotionally. He cares for us socially. He cares for who we are. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus will supply those things that we need. Provision in times of need and also freedom from sin and guilt. We walk in the place of forgiveness. We walk in the place of liberation. Remember the story of the woman who was brought before Jesus as she was caught in adultery in John 8. Imagine this scene. Imagine the scene of this busy area in the center of town, people everywhere, markets going on, and all of a sudden this rabble of people are coming, their full noise bringing up all these men, religious leaders, coming with this poor, crying, possibly naked woman, and they throw her down in front of Jesus and say, she's been caught in adultery. She is a sinner. We need to stone her. And what does Jesus do? He says, you who are without sin can throw the first stone. Who stayed? Jesus stayed. Everyone else left. And what did Jesus say? He said, go and sin no more. The sins were forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus brings us forgiveness for what we deserve. He gives us hope. He washes us clean. He makes us holy. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We've stepped out of punishment because of the grace of God. The resurrection of Jesus has taken away the payment that we need to make for what we've messed up and puts it in the hands of Jesus, who brings us forgiveness, healing, and wholeness. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom from sin and guilt. And the last one, eternal life and resurrection hope. God is eternal. We were created to be eternal. Sin ruined that. So sin took away our eternal capacity until Jesus came back and gave us a hope and gave us a promise of eternity. Jesus opened the door to heaven for each and every one of us to live in perfection forever. John 11:25 said, Jesus said to her, to Martha, before he rose Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus opens the door for us to be with the Father for eternity. So how does that change our life? There's a cartoonist, Joe McKeever, and he drew a cartoon, and this cartoon had the tomb of Jesus with the stone rolled away, and there's a tourist guide out the front. And the tourist guide says, the angel moved the stone to reveal an empty tomb and a risen Christ. Ever since, man has been trying to roll that stone back. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered sin. Jesus made a way to the Father. Jesus gives us hope. Jesus gives us a future. Jesus gives us healing and wholeness. The cat's out of the bag. It can't get put back in. This is a fact that Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead. So what are we going to do about it? There's a story about a gem dealer, and he was walking through this garage sale, and he came across a box of rocks, or so it seemed. And he saw one, it was the size of a potato, and it was a bluey violet colour, and he saw it and went, oh, I know what this is. And he said to the person selling, would you take this for $15? And the guy said, looked at it and looked at the other ones. He says, it's not one of the pretty ones. You can have it for $10. That $10 rock has been certified as a 1900 carat natural star sapphire. It was 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind. It was appraised at $2.5 million. It took someone who loved gems to know the value of what it was. The resurrection of Jesus in our community means nothing. It means a public holiday. It means a time to go drinking. But those who understand the value of who Jesus is, it transforms our life. How will it transform your life? Has the resurrection of Jesus changed anything in your life? Has the resurrection of Jesus changed everything in your life? Jesus is calling us. He's calling us for something better, something greater. He's calling us into relationship. He's calling us into forgiveness and wholeness and healing. There's a story at the end of World War One in France, and the French army had been annihilated, and they had all of these soldiers that had amnesia from the bomb blasts, and they couldn't remember the families they were from, they couldn't remember the towns they were from, they just couldn't remember anything. And so what the French government did is they created this parade where they brought all of the soldiers, and all of the families who had lost soldiers came as well. Then each of the soldiers, one by one, came out and said, "Is there anyone here who can tell me who I am?" We stand before Jesus and we say, "Jesus, can you tell me who I am?" We are forgiven. We are whole. We are holy. We are free. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we live with God for eternity. That's who we are because of Easter. Let's pray. Jesus, everything we have is because of you. Everything we desire and long for can be had in you. Everything we didn't need, we didn't know we needed, we have in you. Jesus, you are a great, great God. Father, there's times where we doubt. There's times where we don't understand. It's times where we believe it's just gobbledygook. But Jesus, you came, you walked on earth, you died, and you rose from the dead. You give us hope, you give us life, you give us a future. And I ask that you reveal to us your goodness, your wholeness, and who you truly are. Father, help us to know you, to walk with you, to serve you, and may our lives be transformed forever. Jesus, thank you.